on previously on Sheer. And I even put in that's Sikkum of previously on Sheer. So previously on Sheer, right, we've been discussing the idea of shlichus, and we really want to know, how do you translate shlichus, right? What concept are we really talking about? Are we talking about a messenger, in which case his job is really to move an object from place A to place B, much less to actually accomplish anything, right? The reason why we say don't shoot the messenger is because, you know, the messenger hasn't actually done anything in a meaningful sense, and therefore shooting him would probably not be the politest thing to do. If he's an agent, we never say, oh, don't shoot the guy's agent, because the agent is acting on their behalf. If you're acting on someone else's behalf, so you're definitely more active, right? You're definitely more involved. You're doing something. On the other hand, the identity that you're doing it for is distinct from you, right? You're you. You're doing something for somebody else. While a representative, you know, is there to represent. They're there to represent the other person. It sounds like there's more of a personal aspect there. There's Bob. I'm here to represent Bob. So it's almost as if Bob is here, right? Or I'm doing these things on behalf of Bob, and I represent Bob, so it's as if Bob is doing them. Okay? Proxy, I think, is actually both more and less. These last three all kind of are better and worse than each other. Because a proxy, on one level, copies over, you know, Google server or Bob, right? I'm a copy of Bob. So it's as if I'm Bob, in the sense that I have all the information and all the capabilities of pretending to be Bob, but at the end of the day, I'm doing it, not Bob, and I'm only a fake Bob, right? So on one hand, I am fake Bob. Fake Bob is really here, but I'm not really Bob. And finally, a power of attorney really transfers over the authority to the attorney. So the attorney's actions are legally binding upon the other person, right? Their actions are, you know, basically done on behalf of the other person, but ultimately the authority rests with the attorney. Right? Power of attorney says, I'm the one who makes the decisions, not the other person. Right? It's not that I'm allowed to make decisions for them. Right? I get their legal rights. So I need to execute them on their behalf, for their benefit, v'chule. But ultimately, the authority has moved to the attorney. While if you have someone incapacitated, right, the attorney can do all sorts of things, but they're not doing it as if they're the other person. Right? They have the legal rights over their estate or over their, you know, assets, v'chule. So all these are different emphases on what shlichus might really be. Is it more that they're doing the maisa, but they're not really so involved? Or they're an agent that, you know, they're doing this action, they're acting on someone else's behalf, but they're the one who's acting. A representative who's trying in a less, you know, complete way to represent the other person, but they're representing. Proxy, where they're like a copy, but not a perfect copy, right? Or a power of attorney, where you're really transferring over authority. So shliach is really shliach, he's not Bob. Right? But he has the authority of Bob. He has the powers of Bob. Okay? So all these are different things, right? Some are emphasizing more the action you're supposed to do. Some are emphasizing more the idea that you're trying to represent the other person. And some are actually saying that, no, the whole legal set of skills are being moved to a whole new person. But the internet-wise, am I okay? Or am I coming through choppy? I'm fine?
That was a little choppy for me, but I think I got what you were saying.
Okay. Is that ever like choppy for everyone else? Is it stabilized? Okay, great. Okay, so those are our main options. Okay, next point. We saw in the Gemara that the Gemara kind of went through a few different iterations of when is it that we understand that there's shlichos, and how broad can we expand it to? So we have shlichos by things that are not sabal karcha, right? Ma legershin shiba karcha, right? When the Tosis Rush basically said, he has so much power here that it's, you know, done bal karcha, that it's as if it's already done, right? So since he could do it bal karcha, he can do it by shliach. Essentially, it's almost like the shliach isn't doing anything necessarily, right? He needs to get the get to her, right? But who says, is the shliach really the one doing the gershin? Right? Or the Baal, by making the get, really did the gerushin. And the get needs to get to her in order to be effective. But maybe because he could do a Bal Korcha, it's as if he already did it when he decided to do it. And it just, there's like almost like a t'nai that he needs to get it to her. Okay? In which case, we're seeing Shlichus really as like a messenger, right? He's there to get objects from A to B or something from one place to another. He's not really doing so much, right? Because Gershon is Bal Korcha, so the Baalim really did it themselves. Then the next case was, Truma, yeah, but Truma is Bal Nasis Ba'ayde Machshav, right? What that points to, again, is if I could do it with my mind, so then maybe when I send the Shliach to do it, who says that the Shliach is really, really doing it? Right? Maybe I'm doing it. Just in my mind, I said, I want to make X X into Truma, right? That's what my mind said. And then it said, you know, the next line was, let X be that which the Shliach separates. Right? I made X, I said, I want X to be Truma, and I can do that. I need to define what X is. I defined X as whatever my Shliach ends up designating. So really what I said was, right, it almost reminds us a little bit of Breira. Oh, what is X? X is whatever I end up doing in the future, right? Or whatever is left over in the future. So here, it's sort of like, okay, I want X to be Truma, but X is going to be defined by whatever my Shliach now separates. So I'm doing the Das is really mine, right? The effector is really my Das, maybe. And the Shliach is just helping define it, right? You know, as like facts on the ground sort of situation. In which case, again, I'm not really giving the Shliach necessarily so much power or any power, right? In Nasa Bal Korcha, I was saying, this action is so, I have so much authority here that I really made the garrison already, and just the Shliach is, you know, sort of filling, crossing the T's and dotting the I's. In Nasa De Machshava, it's like, I am being Korei Shem, I'm allowing the Shliach to define what is being, you know, what that X is. Then when it comes to Korbanos, Shlichos is, in a certain sense, more relevant because maybe by Korbanos, you don't really need to be doing it yourself at all anyway, right? Kol Maaseh are Nasas HaYidei Shliach, right? And therefore, it's sort of like, how much are you really responsible for doing the Korban? You don't really do the Korban because at the end of the day, you bring the Korban to the Beis HaMikdash and the Kohanim do all the stuff. So maybe you're not really responsible to personally do it bichlal. You have a responsibility to bring it to the Mikdash, but since the whole purpose of a Korban anyways is sort of to be Mikdasher, right, is to sort of bridge the gap between, you know, mortal man and the divine. So anyways, it's not so much something that you do as much as something that you participate in and you, I guess you're involved with, but you can't really do it. You're not like creating the chalos by yourself, right? And it's not like you're giving it physically to God or you're chayiv to like, oh, you bring the korban in, then you're creating ex chalos. And the point of the korban is to bring something and sacrifice literally something towards God. But the fact that you're sacrificing, right, isn't necessarily tied into the actions that you're going to do, which are anyways done by the Kohen. In which case, it's more about the result, right, and the process, and not necessarily so much about you're chayav to do a certain halachic action, or you need to do something, and you're doing it via shliach. Okay, so in all three of these cases, we don't necessarily need to give shlichos a real halachic validity, where you can do things through someone else, and, you know, shlucho shladam kamosa. Okay? Now, the Gemara did say, I'm just going to skip that, right? That shlucho shladam kimosa, which means that it really means something, right? Shlichos is literally that the shliach is somehow way able to represent the Baalim or do things on behalf of the Baalim, and the shliach is doing it, right? That definitely seems to be the maskan of the Gemara, that there's real authority to shlichos. Okay, now, the next point we wanted to make is, what if the shliach doesn't act entirely in line with what the Baalim told him to do, right? You have the shliach, you have the Baalim. The Baalim wanted one thing to be truma, or didn't want you to be so overly enthusiastic with what you give to Truma. And yet, you know, you love giving Truma. So you gave more than the Bailim would have done themselves. So Tosel said that Abahadish Harbi bin Yadam did dark and litrum bain yafe, right? People who give nicely, 1/40th. Matzi Lime Marlay, the Shliach can tell the Bailim, Lahachi Amaticha, Ubatalta Daatcha, Itzel Daati, Lemash Amaticha. This is what I thought you would want, and therefore your das is batel to the das that I evaluated you as having. Right? Now that line really can be seen in two different ways, right? Either I'm saying, I don't care about your das. Your das is irrelevant, right? And so it's just batel, right? Batel can mean one of two things. Batel can mean it's nullified and it doesn't exist. It's irrelevant. Batel could mean that in a mixture, right, thing A is subsumed by thing B and becomes thing B. Right? Interesting, huge nafka meaning between those two is, let's say you have, let's say, heter, like, you know, you have mutter stuff and you have usher stuff. And drop by drop, the usher stuff is dripping into the mutter stuff. And there's much more mutter stuff right now. And as time goes on, right, the drops keep dripping. Each one gets batel. But then at some point, so much dripped in that there's actually more usher stuff than mutter stuff. Or there's enough usher stuff now that it shouldn't be batel if it had all fallen in together. Can we use the usher stuff that's already been batel to be mevatel the future, the usher stuff that keeps dripping in? Right? If I start off with like a bowl of kosher soup, and slowly but slowly, you know, non-kosher soup is dripping into it. So let's say, you know, I have 5 ounces of kosher soup and like a tiny drop falls in, batel, keeps going. At some point, I have a bowl that's now filled with 11 ounces of soup, which means 6 of it is actually non-kosher soup. But because it kept going in little by little, so even the drop 11 ounces, which fell into something that's mostly non-kosher soup, the original drops might already have been batel, and then the whole thing became kosher soup. And then another drop falls in, and now we have a bigger bowl of kosher soup, because each one gets batel. Yeah, that's a kashrus discussion, and there's like big machlokesim about that. But the idea is that sometimes when things are batel, they become part of the thing that they're batel to, and sometimes we just pretend they don't exist. If we're pretending they don't exist, then you can't say that, oh, well, the 6 ounces of non-kosher soup are batel to the 5 ounces of kosher soup, right? If we're saying that they turn into kosher soup, so then maybe, right, the bittel turned it into kosher soup, and now the new drops are constantly falling into bigger and bigger amounts of halachically kosher soup. Same thing here. Do we mean that the bittel of the das of the mishaleach becomes the das of the shliach, or it's irrelevant? One option is to say, bittel das habaylim shliach. The das of the baylim really doesn't matter. And the minoy shlichos is giving over the authority to the shliach. And therefore, since the shliach is the one who matters, he's the person with the authority over the hafrashas truma, only the shliach's das matters. And the mishaleach is just irrelevant. Right? We transferred authority, we gave power of attorney over to the shliach, and now the mishaleach's das is irrelevant. Or we could say, actually now, but batel das of the baylim shliach is that really, that's what the Mishaleach thought. Why? Mino Shlicho says, I intend for X to be whatever the Shliach picks out. The Shliach picked this out, right? That is a manifestation of my das of let X equal whatever the Shliach picks out. I'm not happy at the end of the day of how that turned out. But I still was Koveya that X equals what the Shliach picked out. So the batla datcha itzel da'ati doesn't mean it's irrelevant. It means that's really what your das is. You're not happy about it anymore, but you were kovea that your das is whatever I pick out should be truma. I picked it out. Now it's truma because of your das. Right? It's almost like if you had a tanai And then suddenly you realize, oh, I don't like this tonight so much, right? I wish I hadn't made it tonight, you know, but this tonight was Niskayim. So you don't get to say, oh, but, you know, now that the tonight's Niskayim, I don't like it anymore, right? It's not like, oh, it wasn't your das. Yeah, Dehila.
Just quick clarification question. On the previous slide, you had a term called like Baal HaSmachot or Baal HaSmachut. What did you mean by that? That circle over there.
Yeah, Samchut is authority, right? Who has Samchut? Who has authority to? I feel like, you know, I guess recently, let's say with mask mandates, this was like a big thing, right? Who has the Samchut to order a mask mandate, right? Who has the authority to tell people to do that? Right? Who has legal jurisdiction? I guess it would be like, who has legal jurisdiction? So we're saying, oh, is the mishaleach the guy with the authority, right? It just being effected and implemented by the shliach? Or are we actually transferring authority over to the shliach? Right? Like if you have a court order, so the guy who serves the court order doesn't have authority, right? He is just the messenger to deliver, you know, what the court's authority, something that's the court's authority. On the other hand, an officer of the law, in theory, right, you're like, oh, well, he's a public servant, but the authority doesn't rest with the public, right? He has been granted authority to do X, Y, and Z, right? So even though in a certain sense he's a public servant, so he is a shliach of the tzibor, ultimately what we've done is we've given law enforcement authority to do all sorts of things, right? Or we've given our elected officials authority to do all sorts of things, right? It's not like, oh, every time a politician, you know, signs a law or makes an executive order, then it's like, oh, Gantza Klal Yisrael just were mitzaveh that you do X, Y, or Z, right? The tzibor gives authority to a public official, and they are now granted the authority to do all sorts of things. Which is also why if you get like a petition together, you know, and you get the majority of people to petition for something, it doesn't necessarily become law, right? Because they've given over authority over certain things to the government, and therefore the authority rests with the government, and potentially the people can't always, you know, override that. Something, right, which we'll get into in hopefully next year, is, you know, how much does the mishaleach, is he always able to have complete control over what's going on with the shlichos? So he can be mevatel the shlichos, he has that authority, but let's say he appoints a shliach, can that shliach then be mevatel the next shliach? Right? How much is it, you know, anyone who appoints a shliach and retains authority, or no, they're really giving over authority? Okay, so those are really two models. One is to say, oh, he gave over authority, in which case the original guy's das might not matter. Or we could say that his das totally matters, right? But the shliach is the manifestation of that das, right? He's been tasked with defining the das of the Bailim, and the fact that afterwards the Bailim aren't necessarily happy, it doesn't necessarily change the facts. Okay, so just one more question is, who can be a shliach? I think that reflects nicely back onto to this question a little bit, which is, the Gemara says, Ela atem gam atem lamali. Once we have our whole binyanav from truma and, korbanos and gittin and gidushin. So why do we need atem gam atem? Because if yana idamar, yana gam atem, ma atem b'nei brit, af shulchachem b'nei brit. Just as you need to be Ben Berit, right, Jewish. So too, your shliach needs to be Jewish or some, right, someone with brismi. Halamali kra. Rabbi Abba Amar Rav Yochanan. Afkad Amar Rabbi Abba Amar Rav Yochanan. In Eved Nasa Shliach Lekai Baget Miad Bala Shalisha. Lefisheinu B'Torah Skitta B'Kiddushin. Because I don't get it. We know that an Eved can't be a shliach for Gittin because he is not part of the laws of Gittin and Kiddushin. He's not able to give a get to his own wife, so he's not legally capable of performing that action. So the answer is, it's chesokadai dachamini eved lav bar hetira huklal v'og chavim ho v'isei b'trumah d'nafshei. Okay? Basically, the Gemara answers that these are two separate dinim. Okay? Atem gam atem, ma atem b'nei bris af shluchachem b'nei bris, is saying that there needs to be a certain relationship between the mishaleach and the shaliach. There needs to be some sort of parity between the sender and the person he's sending. Okay? Also, the person who's being sent needs to have a certain level of compatibility, not just with the sender, but with also the mission that he's undertaking. Okay? We need the mishaleach and the shliach to be compatible. We also need the shliach and the shlichut, right? The maisa, the Torah's gittin that he's being tasked with. If the shliach is incapable of being of performing the legal action or being relevant to the world of gittin, he's unable to perform get again. And if he is not in the same, you know, same world or same legal world as the sender, so he can't be his shliach. So a guy can't be a shliach, even for truma, even if you think that a guy can bring truma, okay, even midaraisa. So even though he could do the action, but he is a guy, and he and the mishaleach is a Jew, right? So they're not on the same wavelength. And even if we're dealing with a Jew, and let's say an Eved, who's Jewish enough to be able to be a shliach, but an Eved can be Megarish's wife. So for Gittin, not for other stuff, but Dafka for Gittin, he can't be a shliach. Okay? What it means is that you have the messenger, you have the sender, you have the mission, right? And all of them kind of need to be on the same wavelength in order to create shlichos. Okay? So you have is the question of what's the relationship? There needs to be some sort of relationship between the shliach and the mishaleach. Right? Ma ata ben bres af shluchacha ben bres. Why is that necessary? Right? So you could say, oh, well, you know, you need some level of affinity. But if you think that the shlucha shaladam kimoso means that he actually is, there's something really there, he's really representing you, so he can't represent you, right, if he's totally different than you in a legal sense, right? If you're not on the same legal wavelength in terms of identity, so then you can't say, oh, you know, shluchu shaladim kamosa, because he needs to be kamosa. Number two is the shliach is taking on some sort of relationship with the shlichus. Now, if you think he's just the messenger boy, legamri, then you don't necessarily need that, right? Because he's the FedEx guy doesn't need to be someone who knows how to use the whatever product is that he's delivering, right? He doesn't need, let's say it's a guitar and he can't play guitar. That's fine. Let's say he's deaf and it's a guitar, right? Still doesn't change anything. He's still equally capable of delivering it. So what we see is that there's both some sort of relationship between the mishaleach and the shliach and between the shliach and the thing that he's doing. He's not only a messenger. But the question is, what extent, right? Is that he's becoming an insider. He's really taking over authority. He's becoming the bar samcha of this maisa, or he's really an outsider, right? He's acting on behalf of someone else, but in order to act, right, you still need to have, you know, the capability to do these actions, right? To act on someone else's behalf, you need to be able to act. Okay, so, right, right, so basically, on the question of shliach, you know, how much is the shliach related to what he's doing? So we really want to say, you have the shlichus, right? The question is, how much is the...
I think we're a little too far away to see or hear.
Oh, no. Okay. Oh, I guess I'll still stick with the PowerPoint then for now. I'll have to really figure this out again. Oh, yeah, I can't see anything either. Oh, now it's making it really big. Now it's making it really big. Okay, so the shlichus, can you see now? Not really. Okay, great. All right, so in terms of shlichus, our kind of question is the shliach, right? What's the relationship between the shliach back to the Mishaleach. How much is he becoming the Mishaleach? Okay? If we want to make an extreme example, if we want to go really intense with Shlichos, okay? So the extreme way to say it would be, right, is that the Shliach, right, is he becomes, oops, right, he becomes the Mishaleach. He takes over for it. Okay? An alternative in the in terms of the not the Shliach and the Mishaleach, right, is also, you could say, a similar idea, but that the Shliach becomes the person who's involved, who's responsible. He takes over responsibility for this thing. Okay? He becomes the responsible or authorized party. Okay? Now, him becoming the Mishaleach, in large part, is an idea of being a proxy, right? Or a representative. If you go really intense, he's a proxy. If you want to go less intense, say he's not really a proxy, right? But he's acting on his behalf, right? He's not necessarily the proxy. Becoming the Mishaleach, I would say no, not proxy, but he's more a representative, okay? Okay. Over here, if we're talking about him becoming the responsible party, right? I can talk about him as power of attorney. Or if I want to be more less extreme, I could say that he's being what was my other option there?
What was my word? I found my word. Good word.
Messenger?
I mean, agent. Agent was better. I think agent was good. Right? He could be an agent.
Where I'm giving him a responsibility to do it, but I'm not necessarily turning him into this person who's like, oh, he's really the guy in charge. Right? But those are the more, right? Those are the more powerful options in Shlichos. Again, what we could do is we could say, well, actually, really, you know, we could be creative and say, no, the Shliach's not really taking over anything. And really, you know, it's totally this like messenger option. But then we kind of have to explain, well, how does Shlichos end up working in all these cases? Okay, so what's the nature of Shlichos? Okay, so we're gonna start with an interesting Gemara. Okay, this is a great case. Right? How do we test these cases? Let's say we take the Mishaleach out of the picture, right? It's a great way to test, right? If we want to know the authority of the Shliach, let's say we take the Mishaleach out of the picture. What do we have left? What can the Shliach do without the Mishaleach in the picture at all? Let's say the Mishaleach appoints a Shliach and then he goes insane. Okay? So he's alive, he exists, right? So he's married to his wife, but he's crazy, right? He's not a bardas. He can't divorce his wife if he wanted to. So Reish Lakish says, the messenger can go and give the get. Rabbi Yochanan says that the messenger can't give the get until he returns to sanity, okay? Now, the Rambam says that it's a psul derabana. If he gives the get, we pass like Rabbi Yochanan that you can't give the get. Im kaso v'nasno kodim sheyavri harei ze pasul. Okay, it's pasul m'derabanan. The tour says eino klum. Right? Why? Because the guy's crazy. Right? The guy's not a bardas. How could the shliach be megarish on his behalf? Okay, what's going on? How does that work? Okay. Case number two.
Let's say the guy actually died after you sent, were sent as a messenger. So the Mishnah says something very interesting. Ha'omer tnu get ze l'eshti, shtar shechur ze la'avdi, umeis, lo yitnu la'achar misa. Right? Tnu man alesh poni umeis, yitnu la'achar misa. But if it's money, then you give it to him. Okay? The money one we can deal with later. He says, give this get to my wife. Then he dies before he gives it to her. Don't give it after death. It doesn't work. Okay? Why doesn't it work? There are two options. I mean, there are two reasons. They're both valid, I think. Or presumably, they'd both be valid unless we say otherwise. Yeah, Ari.
Well, you could either say that the shlichut is nullified, or you could say that the shlichut still works, but the person now doesn't have the authority to do it.
Right. Right. On the one hand, the guy's dead, so you can't be megarish for him. And number two is, you can't be megarish at all because they're not married because he's dead, right? Get is about dissolving marriage, and their marriage is dissolved. You can't dissolve that which is already dissolved. It just doesn't work. And how can the shliach do it if the bailim are dead? He can't be megarish, and she can't be nitgareshet, right? It should work from both sides. So Rashi said, "Gita lo hevi adamata liyada, b'chi mata liyada hamaisle, mishachar upaka le rishu say." He's dead, and therefore they're not married. So when he gives her the get, he's giving her the get, but she's not married to him anymore. It's like if you walked up to a random mamana on the street and gave her a get. You're not married to her, so what's it's meaningless. But Rashi emphasized that because he's already dead, they're no longer married, and the get is ineffective. Right? It doesn't say that the shlichus doesn't work anymore. Tosfos says it has a fascinating a line. Enget la'achar misa. He says, wait a second, we already know enget la'achar misa. Tzarech lashmi inan. This is like Pleiadic in my eyes. Tosfos is saying, what's the hava mina? The shliach is alive. I would have thought that the shliach being alive means that it's as if the mishaleach is still alive. Right? Now, that's like a whole, like, that's crazy can of beans, right? Now, you could have said, and I think it's actually not so crazy if you learned Yevamos, is to say, well, actually, just because they're dead, you know, you might have thought that the get can still be effective, because let's say there's Zika to Yibum. So maybe the get would work on the Zika to Yibum, even though he's dead, because the Zika to Yibum means that she's not actually totally now married to him anymore, right? There's a remnant of the Ishos that still exists. But Tosos doesn't say that, right? Tosos says, oh, I would have thought that the shliach being alive, and the shliach, you might have thought he so completely embodies the mishaleach that it's as if the mishaleach is still here. Right? I think it's pleiadic. I mean, I don't know how seriously to take this line in Tosos, but what that does is that kind of forces us into this idea that, you know, maybe he so strongly embodies like a proxy of the Baal, that even though the Baal's dead, right, if you take down the main server, the proxy server's still there. So I might have thought that, oh, it's like he's such a good proxy server, right, that even after death it works. Right? The shliach, you know, but get lach hamisa. Now, that's very extreme, but what it's saying is that maybe the guy is such a powerful proxy that we could have such a heaven. Now, that's just the most extreme possible formulation. I just wanted to share that. And the Ksos asks a similar question, which is, Miaz Lina and Basar Meikara, Ubishas Cha So Shliach Pikeach Hayab Omid Bimkom Hamishaleach. Oh, Azlina Basar So, Farebishas Gmar Shlichos, nishtata ha-mishtaleach u-batla shlichusa. Okay? When it comes to a matana, do we go based on when he was made a shliach or based on when he actually performed the shlichus? Okay? Now, if we go back to the board and we say, oh, what is shlichus? Okay? So, how can I explain the shita of the Rambam that the shlichus works even though the mishaleach is incapable of doing it himself?
Can you repeat the question, please?
Yeah, the Rambam says that if the mishaleach can't do it himself, then the shliach can still be megarish the guy's wife when he's still alive but incapacitated, right? Sorry, a little bit of a transition. The Gemara we just saw in Gittin says that when the guy's dead, the shliach can't be megarish, right? So he said, well, there are two reasons for that, right? One is the guy's dead, so he can't be megarish, and two is he's dead, so they're not married. Right? They're not married, so you can't be, so gerushin is irrelevant. And number two is the guy's dead, so how could his shliach be megarish for him? Right? Let's say we were to change the case.
But the Rambam's talking about a sick person, he's not talking about a dead person, is he?
Exactly. If we change the case and talk about a sick person who himself could not be megarish, but yet he's still alive, right? So his wife is still married to him.
For me personally, if you, like, I see, like, Rambam is coming after the Gemara, the two options are, like, if you follow the shita that you can give a get, you just look at him like a sleeping person, right? Because that's what Reish Lakish is far.
So it's an interesting thing. The Rishonim, the Turin, the Rambam is talking within Rabbi Yochanan. He says we look at him like, he rejects Reish Lakish. We hold like Rabbi Yochanan. It seems like for the Rambam that the Rabbi Yochanan is just a reason for a gezeira. It's aser midrabanan because it looks like the guy's, like as if the shoteh was doing it himself. People think that a shoteh can be megarish.
Okay, that's interesting because we didn't really spend time going into like the different svara about like this, the sleeping versus not. But the way I understood it, if you look at him like a shoteh, he's not really capable of being an agent at that point. So I don't really understand how like the minui would work.
Right, exactly. I think that's legami the question that that's like also bothering the Xos. The Rama says it works, right? But if we pass on like Rabbi Yochanan, the Rama is saying like Rabbi Yochanan, but he can't do it. So does that mean that he's a crazy the sender is, not mentally fit. And if he's not mentally fit, then how could he surely have to do it on his behalf? The way the Rambam seems to read the Gemara is that it's only a problem. Rabbi Yochanan is only saying that it's a problem in Darabana. Why? Because he's a crazy person. So you can't have a crazy person do it because a shliach of a crazy person do it because then people might think that a crazy person could be Megarish's wife. And then you don't need to be mentally fit. As long as he says it, in a fit of madness, that's fine. Okay? What it means that according to the Rambam, the way the Rambam reads this Gemara is that they're totally Midaraisa. The shliach can be megarish even though the mishaleach is not mentally fit. Right? How does that work? Tehila's point, I think, is very good, and it sort of hits all of us, which is, if the mishaleach is dead, how can you be his shliach? If the mishaleach is insane and not mentally fit, how could you be his agent? How can you act on his behalf? Yeah, not
that. Isn't the Rambam only say that like the mishaleach can, it's only because like in the case of which he will recover later, like the ochez kurkadus is not the same as shoteh. It's like the middle level. Like if he was actually shoteh, would he not agree that he can't send it at all? In which case it should be clear that someone who's dead can't send it at all?
Nope. Ram says that doesn't seem to care.
But he says
right, the Gemara sounds that way. Very misleading because the Gemara really sounds like it matters that he can go either way. It does matter in the machlokas of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. The Rambam seems to think that it doesn't, that la halacha, passing like Rabbi Yochanan, so that's asur midrabanan, and it doesn't matter whether or not he's nishtata or not. Whether or not he's going to get better or not.
Does he not say in the Mishnah Torah he's going to get better there? He's not sure. I have to check. But I remember when I
don't know. The way I read Rambam, because it has this built in kodem shei of ri, he's not seen as a shote, he's seen as a person who's about to get better.
And yeah.
He doesn't make it clear on the fact
that he will get better.
But the entire halacha is based on someone who can get better. It's like ad sheyavri v'natnu kodem sheyavri. It seems to be like,
it says that you can't.
There's an assumption that he can be get better, as opposed to a shote, which it sounds like it's just he's done.
But in the point of the Rambam, so it works. According to the tour, let's bring it in the tour, right? According to the tour, right? It doesn't work because the mishaleach is not a bardas. According to the Rambam, right? It's fine. It's just that it's also mitzpasim midrabanan, but midaraisa totally works. The shlichus is fine, right? According to Rabbi Yochanan, he's a shote. Right, and we're passing
Rabbi Yochanan is like a shote.
Midami is a shote. He says just like a shote.
Wouldn't a Rambam say that just he'd read that it just it's like gzera shema shote as opposed to actually saying he's a shote?
I think the way all the Achronim understand the Rambam, and I'm inclined to agree with them, is that the Rambam is just saying that even if he's a shote, it doesn't really bother us that much, because at the end of the day, when he appointed him as the shliach, you know, it was a good shlichus.
Okay.
Right now, just another point is that the Gemara here about shlichus lachar misa, at least Rashi said the problem is that they're not married, right? And Tosu said the problem is also that they're no longer married. But now that there's a problem with the shlichus, even though the guy's actually dead, right? So the Ktos is bothered by this. The Ktos says, "I don't get it," and he says, "Im nasim ashliach havela get min haTorah." According to the tour, it's possible with the rice. He says, I hop the tour. The guy's a shote. How could his shliach act on his behalf? He himself is not a bardas, right? So he says like this. Mishum, the kvar omar hashliach bimakom hamishaleach b'shasha asahu. Right? And therefore, the shliach is kimosa. And that's true even if the guy dies, right? He says, maybe even it's true when he dies. And then he says, yeah, that's actually true. And that's why Rashi and Tosas are machmir to say that they're not married, not that there's no shlichas. Right? And the same thing here. He couldn't, because he's dead. And he doesn't own the Eved, and he's not married to his wife anymore. The shliach is bardas. The shliach is nasis bimkomo, and shlucho shaladim kemoso. So I don't care that the guy is not a bardas anymore. And afilu achar misa hamishaleach shlichos lo bata v'nechan shliach achay bimkomo. Just the problem is that he's not married to his wife anymore. But let's say, and here's a good case. Let's say I give money to a shliach to give as a matana to somebody else. Right? If my estate still owns that money, there's no reason why the shliach couldn't do it. Right? It belongs to my estate, so the shliach still has granted authority to do it. Okay, so according to the tour, shlichos is like, he's acting as an agent, he's acting on behalf of the mishaleach, so no mishaleach or no legally fit mishaleach, so no shlichus. The Rambam, at least according to the Ktzos, is saying that what? The shliach is only to become the mishaleach, and therefore you don't even need the mishaleach anymore. An extreme way of saying is that even if the guy's dead. Okay? Now, if we're talking about power of attorney, right, then maybe death is a little too much. Right? If we're talking about, but at the end of the day, what we're saying is you now have authority to do it even without the mishaleach being legally competent. Now, just to put it on the board though, again, it doesn't necessarily tell you which of these two we believe in, right? There are two questions on how does shlichus work. How much is shlichus kimoso? How much is the shliach really, really deeply identified with what he's doing? Right. And number two is, is what is the mechanism? Okay, is he taking over the mishaleach? Right, he becomes the mishaleach, or is he becoming the responsible party for the maisa? And there's a big difference between those two, right? Meaning the Rambam could either be saying, like Tosfos, that essentially shlichus works by proxy, and because of that, if the guy's not a bardas, who cares? The shlichus bardas, and he is now the proxy of the mishaleach. He is kiviyachol kimosa of the mishaleach, right? And then we're saying that the shliach becomes the mishaleach, essentially. Or we could say, no, the shliach and mishaleach are two separate dudes. But the shliach gains power of attorney of this maisa din affair. Okay? Now, an important nafkamina of that is misa. Because if the guy's dead, the only real way to make that, to say that he's still a shliach, I think, is to say that he works as a proxy. Right? You can't really have power of attorney over a dead person. That dead person can't do anything. So you can have all their legal rights, but they don't exist. If you're a proxy, you could burn the original server and still deal with all the web traffic. Right? So this would work, you know, even after death, I would say, right? This could be even after death. I don't know how I put it in, but no. I don't think you'll be able to read it, but it's here. And over here, if it's power of attorney, I would say it's only if Nishtate, that he goes crazy. Now, I think potentially the Rambam's going to be limited to Nishtate. I don't think the Rambam necessarily would agree that it works even if the guy's dead. The Ktsos is convinced that Shluchu Shadam Kimoso, he's Nichnas Tachtav, which means even if he's dead, the Shlichus is still relevant. It's still a proxy for Yair. Right? If you're a proxy, if you're becoming the Mishaleach, then maybe you could do that even after death. If you're becoming responsible for the Maisa is really only relevant if the guy's still alive. But if he's insane, your power of attorney still is totally relevant. Adrabah, when do we give people power of attorney, right? Only when someone loses their mental acuity. Okay. Now, just another example of where this comes up. It's much like a mafurish machlokas rishonim. Rabbeinu Yoel says that a ghost ace can't be Megarish's wife. Okay, now where he gets that from is a separate issue. He thinks that a ghost ace is basically considered to be like half dead or basically dead, and therefore he can't do legal maisim. So he says, well, wait a second, there's a mafurish gemara that the shliach of a ghost ace can have a shliach who's Megarish's wife while he's a ghost ace. He says, Mayri kishekibel hashliach haget kodem shaya ghost ace, kishalach hashliach nasa ghost ace. Aval b'shash who ghost ace lo haya yachol lasa shliach Megarisha. Says, you can't appoint a shliach when you're a ghost ace, but if you have a shliach and then he guy becomes a ghost ace, even though he can't divorce his wife, the shliach can. Okay? And the Re says, hu kechai lechol dvara v'gito get. No. The ghost ace is kechai lechol davar. He's totally considered alive for everything. And his get is a kosher get. Okay? Why? How do I know that? The imalav bar nesinahu, mishum dechashim kimeis, afilo shlucho nami lumati yayabla. He says, if he can't do it, how can a shliach do it? Right? Rabbi Yoel says, I don't care that he can't do it, because he already appointed the shliach. Right? I think which is exactly the same idea. Right? If you can't do it, then who said, like, how can you do it yourself? Says the Re. Says Rabbi Yoel, you can't appoint the shliach when you can't do it, but once you appoint the shliach, you can do it yourself. Like, he can do it even though the guy can't do it himself. Right? If it gives over either the identity of the mishaleach or the authority of the mishaleach to the shliach, and now the shliach independently is the guy in charge, or he is the mishaleach as a proxy, so then you don't need him around anymore. You might need him to be alive if it's just power of attorney, but you don't need him, you don't necessarily really need him. As opposed to if you see the shliach as performing something on behalf of the mishaleach still needs to be there.
He still needs to be capable, right? Because you're an agent who's acting on his behalf. He can't act on his behalf if he can't do it himself. I'm just going to look at Alex's question.
Sorry, I got sent by accident. I was going to send it at the very end. It was from a while before.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'll look back at it in a minute. Okay. So anyways, you just actually have this Machlokes Rishonim, not just Tur and Rambam, but also Rabbi Yoel and the Ri, the same idea of someone who can't legally act, can you do it on his behalf? And what's also important about this is that it's not about Das, right? By Kordaikos, Natan and Tehila were asking, well, wait a second, maybe it's Dafka because his mental acuity could come back. So maybe we could view it as like a temporary issue, right? The Gosis, he's definitely dying, and he will not be able to do it in the future, right? But since he's still alive, and he appointed before he was in the state where he couldn't do it, so it says, Rabbi Yoel, it's still fine. The Shliach can still act. Okay. Just the Avnei Nezer makes an important Chakira, which I think is again, we really touched on it already. I just want to see it in Mefurash. The Avnei Nezer makes a Chakira, right? HaMishaleach, what's the relationship between the Shliach and what he's doing? How does he do it? Okay. Is it that the Mishaleach notain reshut l'Shliach la'asot? Okay. That the Mishaleach is transferring authority to act to the Shliach. He's giving over responsibility to the Shliach. And now the Shliach is the person who's authorized to act in this area. Okay. Or he's the Bar Samcha. He's the one who's really responsible for the Dinex. Or do we view the Shliach as action, as something that the Shliach, Mishaleach, is really doing? Why? Right? Shayad HaShliach Nasis Yado Shel Mishaleach. Okay? Do you view the Shliach as representing the, being responsible for this action? Right? He's now, you know, the person who's the address for anything related to this din, and he has authority over it? Or is he simply like the long arm of the Mishaleach, you know, who's every action that the Shliach does, it's as if the Mishaleach did it himself? Okay? Ukaze yireh inyan shlichos b'mitzvos, d'nechshav sha Mishaleach as ha-mitzvah. It says, okay, important nafkamina. How could you do a mitzvah yideh ha-shliach? It is about, right, you can't really grant authority over doing a mitzvah to somebody else so that you get credit, right? Let's say it's a get. It's not a mitzvah to give a get. You give a get. This guy now has authority to be megarish your wife on your behalf. Okay, he does it. The gerushin was chal. But you don't necessarily get credit as if like, oh, you went and did gerushin. You were megarish your wife. The ishos between you and your wife has now been severed. But if you have your shlech go shake a lulav, you didn't do anything, right? Let's say you have a shliach to give tzedakah for you, or give matanos, a mishalach manos for you. Right there, we'll say, oh, yes, there's shlichos. So your shliach goes and gives mishalach manos to your friend for you. Are you, your yotze? You might have authorized this guy to do mishalach manos, but why do you get points in shamayim for having done mishalach manos? So the Avnei Nezer says, when it comes to mitzvos, Dafka, it works like they yad. It's not that you've given over authority to this other guy, right? It's a yad. You're doing the action just by remote. It's like when you have like a remote control for your remote control car or your drone, right? You're not touching it, but who's controlling the drone? Whose actions are it? You are, right? You're holding the steering wheel and you're driving your car. You did it. So if you do it through your shliach, you did it through the shliach. In which case, we're really leaving this chart on the board, right? It's not that the shliach necessarily has responsibility or that he becomes the mishaleach, but just simply that his actions are attributable to the mishaleach. But the mishaleach is the one who's still doing everything. Okay? So when we talk about the relationship between the shliach and the maisa, you could say, well, really, he's the Baal Davar. He's now the new person responsible. Or you could say that he's just like the long arm of the Bailin. His actions are really the Maisim of the Bailin. And he really has no relationship to the actions that he's doing at all. Okay? On the other hand, if we're talking about the relationship between the Shliach and the Mishaleach, between the messenger and the sender, so you can say, well, you know, he's the long arm of the Bailin, or he's doing it on their behalf, or you could say that he's really pretending to be them. He really is the proxy. He really is as if he's the Mishaleach. Right? Now, the more that you see him as like a messenger, what's interesting is this idea of Yad sort of falls in between here in terms of the relationship between the Shliach and the Mishaleach, right? If you transfer responsibility to the Shliach is totally independent. If you say that the Shliach becomes the proxy of the Mishaleach, so it's as if the Shliach really is the Mishaleach. If you say that he's a Yad, so he's sort of in between, right? Because he's not embodying the Mishaleach, but he's also not operating independently of it. Okay? But what it definitely does say is if he's the Yad, if he's the long, you know, as his Maisim are as if the Mishaleach is doing it by remote control, right? Then if the Mishaleach is dead or incapacitated or incapable of doing it himself, the Shliach definitely can't do it, right? So if we see Shlichos as something that the Mishaleach is doing just by remote, then this whole idea of the Ktos isn't going to fly. If we're talking about, then if the guy's a ghost says, if he's Nishtate, right, if he dies, obviously you can't have Shlichos. The more we talk about transferring authority or he takes on the identity of the Mishaleach, the more that he can operate independently of it. Everyone got that? Okay. Fine. Leave that. Okay. Shukach. And now I'm happy.